The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
The soul of Jefferson.
It does, doesn't it? Settles right there. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Terry Raposa and
Janet Chandler
and
Wynn Carpenter.
We are here to bring you a continuing soiree.
No, that's in the time. Soirees are at night.
It doesn't matter. It continues from nighttime to daytime. In our world, in this world, we are broadcasting live in this world from downtown Reading at KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. We're streaming live on KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever and ever.
Amen.
So, we have a program today where we're just going to bring some things to light, maybe touch on a few things. Interesting conversation that the president had with President
Zelensky.
Yes. And that was an interesting...
I'm so excited to hear your thoughts.
Hey, Christina, how are
good
you, darling?
Morning, good morning. I mean, this is the most hottest subject, I feel, for everyone, especially for me, since I'm in the border of both countries.
Yeah.
So, I'm interested to hear, what do you think? Like, you're more...
we're going to tell you. I guarantee you, honey. We're going to tell you. You know that. You know me.
One of the reasons why I'm here today, I just want to hear everybody's thoughts about this.
Well, you know, I think that the people of your country are suffering. I think it's terrible. You know, if you look at where the money went, well, you want to know a couple of things, quick things about President Zelensky?
His multi-million-dollar home in Florida?
$35 million home in Florida.
Oh, 35.
He has a $1.2 billion with a B, $1.2 billion in an overseas account, several accounts. That's $1.2 billion.
The income for a comedian is very high these days.
Especially when they wear stilettos.
There's more. Wait, there's more. He owns 15 homes, three private planes, and on top of the $1.2 billion with a B, he has in overseas accounts, he makes $11 million a month. So are you questioning where the dollars go?
I still think he has less than Trump. Let's be honest.
He has what?
He has less than has Trump.
Yeah, he's going to be, Trump earned his. Yeah.
Absolutely no way you can deny that Trump worked hard and created something for his money. He created buildings. He created created jobs.
He's a real estate mogul.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's not borrowing money for a war.
We have to look farther back than just Trump. We have to look back to the Obama administration and the Biden administration and find out how much money our taxpayers dumped into Ukraine and where it went.
Well, that's the whole point. That's
where it went.
Where it went. You see, I would have liked to have seen before Biden and we entered into this conflict what those numbers really were on everything. I'd like to see what they were. That was the one thing that I haven't seen. That, you know, was he making $11 million a month? And where was that coming from? Was he, what did he do for a living?
Let's face it, the people of Ukraine were oppressed by Russia, and then they were oppressed by their own government, which, well, you know, is not surprising.
I had a guy say something to me yesterday. It was pretty interesting. He said that, you know, well, now it looks like that Trump's siding with Russia. And I said, he isn't siding with anybody. I go, we gave a bunch of money. We want something in return. We want something for our money. Okay, if you make somebody a loan, you know, you expect to have some kind of repayment. And when you make somebody a loan who has, Trump isn't asking anybody for money. that for himself. I mean, where does what's the 11 million for? What's the salary? That's his salary, 11 million a month.
And Zelensky was asking for assurances. He wants security. And Trump was trying to tell him, if we come into your country and establish mining and getting those rare earth minerals, they are along the border of where Russia is. And what better security than to have American business and European business and people there on the border? Russia is not going to invade through a business buffer of Europeans and Americans. There is your security. But poor Zelensky, he was told by senators before he went into that meeting, your attitude is not very good. Don't take it into the Oval Office. Lindsey Graham has always been a Ukraine supporter and a Zelensky supporter. And he told him, you're making a big mistake if you go in here, in there talking like that. And he did. So when you are losing the support of people who have always been on your side, you've done something wrong. And he went in there like a petulant, bratty little kid.
I think we just need to keep to ourselves, frankly. I think what we need to do is build our military. We need to have the best special forces in the world. And we need to only, whenever there are American interests involved, that's when we get involved. I love Ron Paul. I think that he was right about that. I think that we don't become isolationists, but we show America first.
And Trump has told Zelensky, I'm not sending in troops to defend your
country.
That's
exactly right.
But I will send in an economic buffer, which will be just
as good. That's pretty smart,
actually. Yeah, it's genius. Yes, but I'm not sending American troops into Ukraine to end up fighting Russia on your territory.
Right.
Because not something I would support. I have great sympathy and feeling for the people of Ukraine. But if it comes down to killing American troops or killing Ukrainians, I'm sorry, Ukrainians are not going to be on my top priority. I am defending my own people, my own treasure, my own blood.
Well, you know, it's our right. Well, the thing is that we just don't need to do that. You know, if we're going to support somebody, it has to be a two-way street. And at this point, it's not.
And I think it is time for the United States to stop supporting militarily any country.
I agree.
Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, I agree. Washington. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
And the least you can do when you as a leader of a country, when you come to the main country of the world, is to say thank you. Show gratitude.
And to wear something other than a pullover shirt.
He's wearing his ninja outfit. So, yeah, it just
the whole attitude of this man has always been disrespectful.
Well, you know, the whole thing is that the elephant in the room is we have to develop a policy of a more isolationist policy. And I don't mean that we're not paying attention to what's going on in the world. I just think that we need to strengthen the United States of America and strengthen our own country.
Why should we commit to sending troops to Ukraine to guard their border?
That's what I'm saying.
When our own border needs our troops.
Yeah, you're
right.
I mean, you're just explaining what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's exactly right.
We all agree.
That's what we need to do. And so, you know, once we start doing that, we're going to be better allies for people.
And our founding fathers noted a distinction between isolationism militarily and isolationism economically. And we should not have isolation economically.
And that's just an absolute perfect way to put it, Janet, because that's exactly right. I mean, John Adams, you know, Franklin, they went everywhere to try to develop economic ties, not military ties.
Exactly.
And that really is a peaceful method. I mean, you know, well, people could say, well, you know, I mean, is there a McDonald's in Ukraine?
I'm sure there is.
Okay, so, I mean, there's already American businesses there. You know, you still sell a franchise, and it's still, you know, I mean, you have to have a situation where whenever you have the United States involved with anybody that is in another country, it has to be to either, A, protect the interests of the United States and the people of the United States, or, B, to create a situation where we can help their country, they can help our country with economic growth. There doesn't have to be another reason for anything. And that's the problem we have. And I think that one thing we're going to do is bring the military back a little stronger, probably a lot stronger than what it was, you know. And I think that's, I'm just kind of done with the whole world kind of thing. I mean, look at China. Yeah. China's ripping us off left and right. I mean, people are afraid of the tariffs. I mean, silver's dropping because, you know, it's an industrial metal, and therefore that's being used a lot in China and in Europe. Well, if it drops, it drops. I mean, the point is that with those tariffs, we have to start making stuff back in the United States of America. And I want to give you one quick example. When I was in the distribution business, probably about 1986, you could buy a dozen caps, you know, those caps that have little sayings on them that they'd sell in convenience stores and stuff.
Like Buck Fiden.
Yeah, well, like that. Like Buck Fiden. Okay, so those kinds of caps would sell in a convenience store, and you would buy them for around, if they were from China, you'd buy them maybe for $16.50 to $17.50 a dozen. If they were from the United States, it'd be maybe $18.50, $18.99 a dozen. If you fast forward about 10 years, you still could go maybe $18.50 a dozen for Chinese, but then it would be about $37 a dozen for American made. And it got to a point where it would be almost $48 a dozen. So if you're a businessman, you can't pay three times more at a wholesale level for product. And I'm just using caps as an example. There's a lot of other examples to use. But that's what was going on. The ratio between the goods in the United States and the goods coming out of China or India for clothing is dramatic.
Maybe tariffs could step in and make a difference.
Well, that's the whole point. I like the tariff idea.
Exactly.
I mean, we have to start. We have to start becoming more self-sufficient as a country. And if there's a partnership with Ukraine, using their minerals and them using what we're going to do with them economically with business ties on both those ends, that's a good deal for everybody.
And the problems with Ukraine go back far before Zelensky. It goes back to the Obama administration and the Biden vice presidency when they were using Ukraine as a money laundering station for their corruption.
Right.
And we have that famous audio of Biden telling the Ukrainians, well, either you do this or we're not giving you your money. It was just corrupt. And we're now reaping the whirlwind of all of that corruption started by the Biden crime family.
Right. If you have a question or a comment on this, area code 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. But I want to take a minute to talk about that our good friend Mark Kent is no longer here on the radio.
And that is sad.
And Linda and Dave.
They had a good run, and I certainly understand that they could use a rest.
Yes.
Right. Hey, Christina, what's on at 10 o'clock?
So we will be running the best of Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda both. So we will be choosing each week one of the best shows that we had in the weekend. Through Monday through Friday, we will be turning it on.
You want to? Okay. Wow. All right. Well.
There you go. That's the replacement.
Maybe you can text Carl and see if he wants us to stay on another half hour or so.
I will, if you like.
I think Europe, and I include Ukraine as part of Europe, I think they all need to get a reset. Mm-hmm. I think they need to understand that the United States, especially under Trump, is not going to be run the way it used to be. And Germany's making noises about, well, we could just kick you out and all that sort of thing. Go ahead, do it. Let's have the United States close up Ramstein and Wiesbaden and not have any military bases in Germany anymore. What does
Frankfurt,
that,
all of them.
Yeah, what does that do to the German economy when you pull out all of those American Yankee dollars?
Mm-hmm.
Be careful what you threaten.
Because it doesn't just affect Germany, it affects all of Europe.
Yes.
Because all those military personnel travel throughout Europe.
And they live in German homes, and they buy German things on the German market. And there are a lot of industries that rely on that United States presence.
Right.
We have. Oh, that's such nice handwriting. Christina, beautiful. Jimmy. Oh, I'm sorry, hon. What were you saying?
Trying my best.
Jimmy. Hey.
What's up, folks?
How you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing good. Hey, what a lot of people don't really talk about is the color revolution in Ukraine under when Obama was president, and I'm sure Christina knows a lot more about it than I do, but from what I understand, the Obama administration basically orchestrated under Victoria Nuland the coup of the Ukrainian government, and I'm pretty sure I'm right on that. So, you know, America's got their nose stuck in Ukraine like that, and it's pretty concerning because, you know, they took over Crimea, the Russians took over Crimea during Obama's administration, and now, during the Biden administration, Russia went in again, and this whole thing about the argument in the Oval Office on camera, well, I just heard Marco Rubio talking, and apparently Joe Biden and Zelensky had gotten to a shouting match, but it was behind closed doors and nobody ever heard about it.
It was on the phone, yes. So,
yeah.
Yeah, this man has not been easy to work with from the beginning. And certainly we all draw a distinction and a difference between Zelensky and the Ukrainian people.
Like we do between the Americans and Joe Biden.
That's exactly.
Right. And can I make one quick comment on Canada being the 51st state?
Yeah, go for it.
So everybody's talking about Canada becoming the 51st state. Well, what you got to think of is there's 10 different provinces in Canada and 3 territories. So basically it would be my understanding that it would be, there would be 60 states because we'd have 10 provinces in Canada.
Oh, I think we'd
instead
just
of running.
Yeah, we would just take the whole country as a state. It may have a lot of territory, but the population isn't that great.
It's 40 million people.
Yeah, they're the size of California, population-wise.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I know that it's a funny thing to think about, but that is not Trump's goal. It's just one of his negotiating ploys.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to give you guys a shout-out. Great show, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay, kiddo. Have a good one. Yeah, so I think that, and I am going to want to get into some local stuff here pretty quick. But any other comments, Wynn?
No, not really.
I think we've covered Europe. People better learn how to deal with Trump. He is not Joe Biden. He's not Obama. He's not Bush. He's not the normal politician coming out of Washington, D.C. Trump is a businessman, and he deals as a businessman. He doesn't deal as a politician. And don't take everything he says at face value. Look beneath for his ultimate goal. He's negotiating. That's what he does. Read his books.
And a lot of what he says that's out on the public sphere is for the people who he's dealing with as well, because he's not just saying certain things behind closed doors. He's saying it, and it's like hidden in plain sight. He is saying things out there in the public so that the others on the other side of the table will understand he's serious, because he's saying it to the world. He's not just saying it to us behind closed doors or over the phone or in a private setting. He's saying it publicly, whatever it is he may be saying. And he may be saying things to get them to react, and then he gets them on the reaction. So there are a lot of tactics. And you have to know where all this information is coming from, and when you cite things, you have to know what the credibility is of things that are being cited. Are they correct? Are the words that they're putting out there absolutely correct? And if they're not, you gotta walk away from it.
And he should be held accountable for his mistakes and whatever. But he's not a politician.
That's correct.
It's out in the open.
He's one of the few that's gone to Washington. One of the few, I think, two of them that have gone to Washington that came out less wealthy than when they went in.
He's losing money being president.
He is losing money being president every single time.
I know there are a lot of people who come and say, well, over the years, Donald Trump has done this and these financial dealings, and he's sold things to the Russians, and he's been in deals with it. Yeah, that's how it works.
How it works.
If you take any multi-billionaire, you will find the same story.
I have a good friend who did a lot of business with China. That doesn't make him a bad person.
Those are the wheelings and dealings.
You know, here's the deal. Businessmen go bankrupt.
All the time.
I met a guy who...
And besides, I'm sorry, but I interrupt, but there are multi corporations within the Trump
business
deal.
That's exactly right.
And not all of them go bankrupt.
Right.
Just
correct.
Maybe one or two.
Well, here's the thing. There's two different types of bankruptcy. One could be a Chapter 11, the other one's a Chapter 13. Mm-hmm. 11's a restructuring. So
right.
if you do your restructuring in a bankruptcy, what you're doing is taking your stuff, saving the people that are in there working for you, and you're reforming your company so you can eventually eliminate the debt. So what kind of bankruptcy is it that people go through? I have somebody who I met years ago. There was a company called Ranch Wholesale Supply, and they sold stuff to ranches and all that good stuff, and they also sold hardware and things like that. And they were a customer of mine way, way back when Sally and I were working together. And he went bankrupt 7 times before he started Ranch Wholesale. But then he started Ranch Wholesale. He created 20 stores, created tons of jobs, made it to where it kept going and turned into something else. Tractor Supply bought part of them. So this guy actually put in a situation where after 7 failures, he went ahead and created a corporation that now lives on and thousands of people are employed. So really and truly, when you dive into something, you got to dive deep.
Right.
And I think that, again, whoever hasn't sinned, cast the first stone, right?
Well,
I made some mistakes in my life. That's for damn sure.
I wish I had enough money to make those mistakes.
Right.
Well, and the other thing, too, is when you cite things, you have to really understand who you're citing it from. What's their ulterior motive?
Well, Trump has had a public existence.
He has
filed income tax returns, and he has used every out the government provides for income tax write-offs.
It's a game of monopoly.
Exactly.
And he and his team know how to play it.
And we can say, well, he worked with the Deutsche Bank, and he worked with the Russians. Can you say the same thing about the financial dealings of the Biden crime family?
What about Rockefellers?
Oh, the same thing. Same thing.
Yeah. All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
But can we say the same
pharmacy
thing about the Biden
family? What about Abraham
family?
Lincoln?
Where are the statistics on the Bidens?
What about Andrew Jackson?
Yeah.
The Bidens have not been upfront in public about where their money came from and where it went.
They don't provide a service. They don't provide an item.
Nothing. They created
nothing. The whole point is, guys, and I think that we hit the nail on the head with the fact that we need to become, America needs to become more about America.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that we shine on people. We don't shine on people, but it's always a two-way street. And frankly, it's sort of like we used to have a lot of things that we would do, like in the tea parties and all these different events we'd have. And we had constitutions. And somebody said, we should just give them away. I said, no, charge a buck for them. If you have a value of something you get, you have a value on it now.
And you have skin in the game.
You have skin in the game.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to find a bunch of constitutions in the trash can.
Or finger in the pie or whatever.
Yeah, finger in the pie. So, you know, I think the thing is that, you know, anger is one thing, frustration is another thing, you know, but really when we look at these things, we got to dive deep. And don't get me wrong, I don't think Trump's perfect, and there are some things that I am leery about him about.
However, I cringe at some of the things that
there are some things I'm leery about, but I won't even go into that. But, I mean, I'm just saying, and the reason is because I don't, this executive power thing, I have a real problem with that. Executive power things I have a problem with. First of all, they're temporary. Second of all, I get it if you're going to stop something that's within your jurisdiction, but unless Congress approves a lot
right.
of these things,
right.
they're only temporary.
That's
but
right.
I get it. I mean, if there's something bad, you can say, yeah, it's bad. I need to stop it for now. But the point is we're going to be doing a whole thing on this as far as understanding how jurisdiction works because, damn, people don't get it.
Right, they don't.
I mean, New California saying that Donald Trump's going to create the 51st state. He has no jurisdiction to create the 51st state.
No.
He has no jurisdiction at all. Not a bit, not tiny bit. Janet has probably more than he does.
And he can say he supports it.
Because she lives in California.
That's yeah. right.
He can say he supports it, but that's it.
But the bully pulpit's good. See, that's the point.
That's right.
So you don't discount the bully pulpit.
Right.
I mean, you know, you don't discount a situation where someone has influence. And if the influence is causing to get what we want, and we can influence him to influence people, I'm in.
Right.
Okay, it's kind of like, you know, help us, help you, help all of us,
right? Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
So I get that. But the thing I don't get is I don't get the fact that we have so many things where people are thinking that, you know, Trump's going to solve everything, let's go have a barbecue. And I think that's been the attitude
yeah,
that a lot of people have had.
Well, everybody always wants to leave it up to somebody else. So when we were doing the State of Jefferson, when are you going to get the State of Jefferson for us? When are you going to do this? When are you going to have this happen? And I think right now the best thing that Trump is doing is picking the scab off the oozing sore and showing all the dirt underneath.
It's the economy.
And the U.S. the U.S. the aid department. We are looking at what happened to all of this money, or at least the fact that the money is gone. Ask yourself a question. Obama was a community organizer, and then he became a state senator, and then a federal senator, and then he became president of the United States. And when he left office, he was a multi-billionaire. Where did the money come from? I don't know. Maybe U.S. aid.
Somebody said his stash.
Yeah. Oh, I know. They had book deals. So yeah, he made billions of dollars on a book
deal. And Netflix and everything else, yeah.
Yeah. So you have a house in Nantucket or wherever, and then you have a house in Hawaii and a house in New York.
Why would they have a house in Nantucket when the ocean's arriving?
Oh, they want to take that property so someone else doesn't get washed away with it.
Oh, okay. There you go. There
yeah.
you go.
It was a point of kindness.
Yeah. Oh, way to sacrifice themselves.
The same with Hawaii. Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes.
Interesting how they buy these houses on ocean shores.
Yes.
Well, we should go after our break. Again, if you have a question or comment, 530-605-4567, 605-4567, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
That's amen.
Good.
You're wrong. And admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Every day, your life is filled with choices, and when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at O2ES.com.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Just enough to shine in the grass a lot.
discussion going on here. We've got a lot of discussion going on here. I'm sorry, we're on the air. That's what happens when you're on with a rookie.
Gold and silver.
Anyway, welcome back to Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E, again, broadcasting live from downtown Reading. 605-4567, 530-605-4567, and let's get into a little local stuff. We had a Board of Supervisor meeting that lasted 13 and a half hours.
What?
13 and a half hours.
And public comment was at the end, right?
Yeah, it was, I want to say it was somewhere, maybe somebody knows the answer to this. I think it was like somewhere around 8:30 at night or something like that.
And again, you know, the old saying, justice delayed is justice denied. Well, so now we have the people's opinion delayed, the people's opinion denied.
Well, they got to speak on each item though. But yeah, on one item, there were 40 speakers with 3 minutes each, which is an hour and 20 minutes.
But it takes longer than that.
Well, and I think a lot of times for public comment, you know, I mean, it's a lot of it is because people get up in public comment, and really, it's supposed to be is an ironclad, but it's supposed to be something to do with county business. It shouldn't be, hey, you know, we need to fix the border, or you know, did you see what happened in the Senate race in North Dakota? You know, it shouldn't be that sort of stuff. But a lot of times you get that. And I think to a point where there has to be some sort of remedy to that. I know even a lot of good people are a little frustrated over that because they have something they want to bring up that they feel is pertinent. And, you know, public comment is sort of put down the road. I mean, do we have a lottery? What do we do? How do we answer the question? How do we fix that? But you have a 13 and a half hour meeting, and basically, you know, you have, there's been a suggestion that people need to get into the grand jury. Well, folks, getting into the grand jury is a good idea. The problem is, I call the DA's office, and guess what? They usually try to go with anything that seems to be a bit criminal. Guess whose advice they seek?
District attorney.
That's right. And the county council. So basically, you know, unless you have the, background or where you have some sort of law knowledge, the grand jury is, I'm not saying that isn't a place for you. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the control has to really be by the people. And I know there's been grand jury decisions that have been served to the city of Reading, to the county, and they just sort of turn their nose up at it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, where's the teeth? Where's the meat?
Well, we have that woman, and I'm sorry, I can't remember her name, but her husband was some legal person here in Shasta County, and they moved to Chico area. And she was on the grand jury, and she just blew it open as to how frustrating her experience was because they really couldn't do anything. And I can't remember her name.
Well, you know, and there was also some talk about, you know, that our Board of Supervisors was, you know, really against the sanctuary state, and that, you know, a lot of thought process on the other side of the aisle is that, oh, they're trying to punish these poor immigrants and blah, blah, blah. The deal is a sanctuary state, a sanctuary county and sanctuary city is not only unconstitutional, it's against the law.
Hmm.
And the problem is that it's unconstitutional. The jurisdiction that we gave as states to the federal government is that of naturalization.
Mm-hmm.
Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4. We gave naturalization to the federal government as one of the jobs they would do for us as the collective states of the United States. And so since that's the position, then how can you say a sanctuary state is anything but illegal?
Well, let's send a little note to Christine Ohm and Pam Bondi and tell them what's going on in California, like they don't already know.
Oh, they know. They're chipping away at everything else that they can get done right now.
Right. Low-hanging fruit.
That low-hanging fruit, and the big colossal Goliath is California. They're going to come here and just start kicking butt and taking names and throwing them in the Hooskow and Gitmo and every place else. So hopefully that's what's going to be happening here in California.
I want to know who's going to be listening to This is Gavin Newsom podcast.
Well, you might be surprised. Maybe people you know.
But, he's going to interview MAGA people.
Oh, sure.
That's what he said.
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
You know, and there was some talk about vote by mail and all that. So vote by mail sucks, you know, and, you know, it just does. That's just my opinion. I'll just keep it short and sweet there.
You're not wrong.
I mean,
yeah. But please separate vote by mail from absentee ballot.
Right. So, and the question I've got is Palo Cedro fixed?
I don't think so.
Well, is it fixed? I mean, they're not going to do the multi-family dwellings there. Is that, does that help all sides? Is everybody happy, or is it, is one side still unhappy? And
well, you have to have some people unhappy because there were people in favor of it and opposed. So
yeah, you know, and I wondered about that because I you know, Palo Cedro is that kind of community that you'd want to move to and, you know, get a couple of acres or be in, you know, really be in the country and have some country living. You don't want to go down and have stack and pack housing right down the middle of the main street of Palo Cedro.
But if you don't,
yeah, I mean, I'm asking.
If you don't fight it,
okay,
you end up with the situation in Bernie where they sneaked in the middle of the night and built some low income stack and pack type housing.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of town.
So anyway, but that apparently is not going to happen. So, and then the Hawes Ranch thing, I guess that went pretty well because as far as Hawes Ranch goes, the Hawes agreed to everything. They, you know, they
and made some concessions.
They made some concessions and not after, I mean, there was, when they asked the guy, hey, you know, are you going to make these concessions? He's like, yeah, yep, yeah, yep. And, but they had to talk about it for
hours.
And then, you know, you look at, then we had our safety meeting, and this is where my bugger boo is. You know, the safety meeting was going to be, oh, this, oh, we've never done this before. Well, hey, how about 2012 with Chief Pauletti?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Chief Pauletti in 2012, yeah, you got to blink that light at us, honey. I'm sorry. It's Steve. It's just you, Steve.
Anymore. Okay, anyway, Pauletti and all the guys.
Anyway, so yeah, Pauletti basically held a meeting that he had the sheriff in there and the DA was there. And is he back?
I think he's
okay.
Back.
Steve, what say you, sir? We were kind of talking about this safety meeting we had on Thursday. But anyway, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I couldn't hear anything. I wasn't channeled through after I called in, but what's on my mind would be, number one, you know, I'm trying to understand, and I'm realizing that there's two Chinas. There's the good China, the good business people, the good people that are against their government, just like we are against our government. And then there's the communist China. So we have to understand that China is like, you know, thousands of years old, and they bring lots of alternative medicines and things which we're beginning to look at seriously because this pharma stuff is killing us. My wife is on so many pills, it's ridiculous, and we've had to go to alternative stuff to try to negate some of the stuff that they have her on from open-heart surgery. And I'm looking at skin cancers, and I can't believe the thing they put me through the other day. It was ridiculous. So, I mean, I'm just looking at alternative ways of thinking, and I think that's something we got to seriously consider. Our air is poison. Our food is poison. The pharmacy is poison. What can we trust anymore? And then my next point would be La Mafa. What a joke. That son of a gun has been in this.
Why do you say that, my friend?
Well, okay, let's just, a very simple example for me is just the fact that in 5 years or so, you guys have almost turned Shasta County upside down. And for the good. For the good. For the absolute positive good. And I brought this, tried to bring it to Aaron the Clown Ryan. And, you know, she just, well, those guys are just in trouble. And that's where she's passing around up here because all the people up here, you know, the few people that power the bees, the committee leaders, are all, you know, they're all about Aaron. She's wonderful. She's wonderful. I thought she was a clown every time she gets up to speak. But I was trying to, you know, inform her about the good that you guys have been doing down there. And she said, oh, they're just nothing but in trouble. They're being sued for this, sued for that. I said, I haven't heard of that.
Steve?
Who's being sued?
Yeah, who told you this?
Aaron Ryan.
That we're being sued? What?
This is what she's passing around up here.
Oh.
That when I try to get people to listen to your program up here, like some of the more committee leaders, you know, to, so yeah, they'll pass it down to their committees, to listen to you guys, what's going on in Shasta, so we can activate some investigating up here. You know, well, they're in trouble down there, you know. And I said, where do you get this stuff?
Well, I think what she's referring to, Steve, is that there is a court case in court right now with the ROV officer who was appointed by the Board of Supervisors. I think maybe that's what she's referring to, but Janet talks to her on a regular basis, so she'll find out. But I mean, when you're talking about suing people, there's nobody suing anybody here.
I know that.
Yeah, so I think she's talking.
That's what I'm hearing. No, this was before. This was like last year, before your ROB has been investigated.
Oh, I have no idea.
She's probably referring to the Shasta County Republican Central Committee.
Oh,
is that possible?
She's probably referring to.
Yes,
that's the Republican Central Committee. I think she might be referring to.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's where the confusion is.
I was actually congratulating on her show a couple weeks ago, and I passed that information on the wind about this guy who's going around educating counties on how to speak to their supervisors or to California in a very organic constitutional manner. And she had a very good show with this guy on her show, and I haven't listened to a few months now because I just have a problem with her, but she has really good guests on her show. I can't negate that.
She does. She has an excellent show at 12, from 12 to 2. She and her husband,
right,
Bill Kunda.
Right.
But remember that no person is all bad, because Erin Ryan has fought ceaselessly for the rights of veterans against the VA. She fought against the dismantling of the dams on the Klamath River, and she is fighting very hard now against the Wolf reinstitution in the country.
And that's really been her three things she's been doing as long as I've known her. Yeah.
So we can't all be right every time, but don't sell her short. She is a very tireless worker.
Yep. Anyway, Steve, we kind of want to get back to the...
Well, I just want to make my point that I called for, was that in 5 years, look what you have done. In 15 years since I've been up here, and Lamoff has been in office, and Aaron's his right-hand person, what has been done? That's my point.
Okay.
Thanks, you guys.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Richard. Oh, Richard. We want to get back to this safety meeting. We want to get back to the safety meeting. Go ahead. What you got?
Well, I can call back next week then.
No. You can go ahead and I'd like to hear your comment. Did you go to the safety meeting?
No, sir.
Oh, okay. Because I really was going to, because that's where we were kind of going. I mean, we don't have to stay there. If you've got something you want to bring up real quick, my friend, feel free to do so. Go ahead.
Well, I have 3 or 4 items, but I'll go as quickly as I can. Usually I can go fast. So, you know, it's amazing how the mainstream media do not report. This is Ukraine related. Ukraine has anywhere from a dozen to 3 or 4 dozen bio labs in Ukraine.
Okay.
That comes out of the Obama administration.
Yeah, whether they were sanctioned by the Ukrainian government or not is irrelevant. But that is one of the reasons.
I have a question about that real quick, and that is that does the Ukrainian government know about the bio labs?
Yes.
I just said I don't know if they were sanctioned or where.
How do we know and they don't know?
I don't know that.
Okay.
I don't know how Ukraine. I don't know if Ukraine knew about them or sanctioned them or not. But the point is, there were bio labs there, and that's one of the reasons.
Okay.
Putin publicly stated he went in there to destroy those labs.
Okay.
Another topic. I just got the 2023 IRS form for Children's Legacy Center.
Okay.
Yeah, I know who they are.
Yep.
Which shows a $7 million payment from the Zonfire.
Okay.
So they went from one paid person, one paid director, Kimberly Johnson, to now 6 full-time employees. So they went from $150,000 a year for their employees to now over $850,000 a year for 6 employees, by the way.
What service do they provide?
Exactly. And Kimberly Johnson, I have all their I have their tax returns going back to 2019. Kimberly Johnson used to make $100,000 a year, and here we are 5 years later, she's making $194,000, doubled. And she has an assistant, by the way, who's making $110,000. So Kimberly's an assistant, apparently.
Hey, I've got a question.
Not sure what they're doing there.
Yeah, I've got a question for you. That's amazing. That's good information, but this is right within your wheelhouse. You know, apparently at this safety meeting, according to Kevin Cry, the DA's office spoke most of the time. In fact, the Anderson police chief never got a chance to speak. And, you know, there's a lot of people, I know that you're looking for some help with the recall, and there's a lot of people who basically may be afraid to join you in that, and you know, and just that simple reason, as you stated, and I agree, makes it to where that would be a good reason to recall her. The question, the thing is that with all the stuff she said about, you know, them being 30, having 30% more cases and not enough judges, and then the court saying, well, we really do have enough, and then they're saying, oh, you know, we don't have enough, and there's never enough money, and we don't have this, and we don't have that. Look at what she threw at Carlos Zapata. I mean, she threw three prosecutors at Zapata for spilling water. I mean, and so people that may be afraid out there to do anything, I mean, that I cannot even believe how at least the perception in a lot of people's minds and their opinion is just how vindictive that was on the DA's position. What say you?
Yeah, and quick, because I know you're almost out of time, unless Carl gave you an extension today. I'm getting ready. The guy that spent the most time in our local jail, 5.5 years now, for some serious allegations initially, and now 90% of them have been dismissed, but he's been through 2 mistrials. The third trial, if it hasn't happened last month, it should happen this month.
What did the guy do?
And I'm waiting for his trial to be over so that I can, so that this person... Well, one of the allegations still pending is it's a rape case. But there's Brady violations, there's witness and evidence tampering. I mean, it's pretty serious stuff. So hopefully this guy will settle this case this month, and then I will get hopefully this person to come out and talk about his 5.5 year incarceration. But hey, a couple of quick things. I think I sent you guys a link to the 10thAmendmentCenter.com. He's a guy out of Southern California. He does really good work. He's now done a second podcast regarding judicial oligarchy and how we as citizens, are able to determine something unconstitutional or not. We don't have to wait for a judge to tell us what's unconstitutional.
Well, we always had the power of the lesser magistrate. I mean, it's...
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, we've always had that. The point is if people are going to do it or not. I mean, we have the power to do that. I mean, you know, Article 2, Section 1, California Constitution, we have that. Article 18, Section 3, that we can change. By amendment, we can change the Constitution. The people can't. But the whole point is that the we have an overreaching, as you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, we have an overreaching state government that is out of control.
Yep, absolutely. And our local elected officials, they're afraid to go against the courts, and that's unfortunate, because our local elected officials actually have more power and authority to run local affairs, especially, than the courts do, and it's very unfortunate that our local elected officials are too afraid. But that's another conversation. One last thing real quick. You know, there's the Trump administration is definitely putting pressure on California, especially for election integrity issues, by the way. Look up Assembly Bill 2-5, sponsored by...
Did you say Assembly Bill?
Yes.
That's a state bill. That's a state bill.
Correct.
Go ahead.
Correct. DeMaio, who's in Southern California, State Assembly or something.
Yeah.
He's running the Reform California movement also. So the person who's putting AB 25 was introduced last week. It is actually a positive bill for election integrity in the state.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I'm not going to push you off. I need to clarify some things. Yes. That's all. I don't want you to feel rushed. Okay. Now the thing is that that's an assembly bill. Is that bill out of committee? I have gotten all these different bills that have been sent to me, assembly bills, and we need to da 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 da. is anything out of committee? And how the hell do you get it out of committee with 67 Democrats and 13 Republicans, really and truly, even though four of them say they're Republicans? And in the Senate, you have 33 Democrats and 7 Republicans. So to me, it's all, I know I can't say the word, but it's BS. It's total BS.
Well,
and that's why, to me, when these people do this stuff, and they try to do something that way rather than trying to get these people on the law like you do, and I respect that. That's what bothers me. It's like an assembly bill. Oh, okay, so the guy's going to get all these kudos for an assembly bill. Hell, they can't even get it out of committee.
Well, again, we're in a different time now, Terry.
The assembly is still the same numbers.
You have to let me finish. We're in an entirely different political realm at the national level than we've been for a long time. And again, Trump is not my savior, absolutely not. We are the savior.
Okay, I'm only going to stop you because we're talking state. I don't care what Congress does. The jurisdiction of what we're talking about is purely state. The president has nothing to do with elections other than the bully pulpit.
You still have to let me finish, Terry. Trump is putting pressure on the states and using federal money as that pressure. Okay. Now, this bill, September 25, would have never been introduced if Trump's administration was not in power and using the power of the federal purse to then get the states to do the right thing. So my point is, I'm seeing different bills being introduced. They just got introduced last week, Terry, so it's going to take some time. But my point to the listeners is that there are state things changing, and yes, we don't depend on the Fed, and we don't depend on the state. We have to do it locally. However, let's take what we can get. Let's take what we can get if we can get some election integrity done at the state level.
I agree, and I agree with that. But here's the thing, and I'll just do this very quickly. It's just like when I talked to Doug LaMalfa's chief of staff, Mark Spanigold. We don't, as California, give a damn about some of this federal money. If they really want something, all they do is add 10 or 20 cents a gallon to gas. How many people do you think gas up a day in California? Airplane, diesel, gasoline, 25, 30 million a day. You're talking about the Mexican border all the way to Oregon. 30 million? What's 30 million people gassing up a day if they've got to pay 50 cents more a gallon here, but they got to gas up here because they got to get through this long state? He will use that card on us and raise our prices, and it isn't just going to be Californians paying for it. It'll be people coming from
everywhere.
It'll be people coming from Canada going to Mexico. I mean, see, that's the deal. I mean, all this baloney about we need their money. Why do you he could tell the government to shove it and just raise everything up here in California. 80% of the homes being bought in the Bay Area and LA are by people who either are barely American citizens or people that are not American citizens.
All right. Well, it looks
I want to hand over my ultimate cynic in the room award that I've held for about 3 years. I would like to hand that over to Terry.
And he will accept graciously.
I'm just tired of California. His time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Okay. Amen.
Hey, CA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve L.A. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind. You don't know us. You have no clue. Still you're telling us what to do. We don't know you or what you face. It's time to start a brand new state. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind. Jefferson state of mind. Carved from lessons we all learned through time. And do my new
state.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.